Blog Talk Radio.
With the Queen, where we value a conscious and holistic approach to life and self-improvement. We often focus on psychological, spiritual, and emotional balance, but we discuss any and everything that pertains to bettering ourselves. So on today's show, we will be discussing healing from sexual abuse. But before we get into that, I would like to invite you to visit conversationswiththequeen.blogspot.com, where you can catch exclusive articles and information that pertain to the show. Also, don't forget, if you miss the show, you can always check us out here on the archives at blogtalkradio.com/poeticenergynetworkstation. Also, check out our Facebook fan page. It's facebook.com/conversationswiththequeen. Everything spelled correctly. And for all my queens out there, while you're on the net, be sure to check out our latest blog, thequeendompost.blogspot.com. The Queendom is a movement dedicated to uplifting the first teachers and the first classroom, the woman. So it's time to support sisters who support the community. Our monthly yoga pose is the child's pose. Child's pose is a powerful position. It is one when you are crouched down on one's knees and your head is placed on the on your lap or the floor. And the benefits of this pose are: it stretches the hips, thighs, and ankles. It relieves stress, relieves back pain, helps insomnia, anxiety, fatigue, and depression. And so normally about this time I would do an affirmation, but we have a special, special poem that is given to us especially for this show by Brother Israel the Poet. Yes, yes, if you listen into Conversations with the Queen regularly, you know we've had the brother on the show, and the brother, we do play his tracks often. So without further ado, this is the world debut of She Is by Israel the Poet.
She was beautiful from head to toe, a concrete rose. Every time she stepped out, she was classy, never too much exposed. This girl had things going for her. Good grades. Mama told her, only thing in this house that stays high is your GPA. She cared about her books just as much as her looks, for she was amazing. She could orchestrate notes on a cello that only Lucifer himself could compete against, y'all. She was smart, artistic, gorgeous, yet humble, quiet, and mellow. Now he was popular. One of those I'ma make it to the league by any means as long as I don't injure my hamstring type fellows. His dad pushed him, maybe to the extreme, reminded that, son, you the first to make it to college, so go hard for your family, please, for me. His mom and grandma died of cancer while he was still a baby, raised by Uncle Luke and Cousin Dede. He never got the grasp of how to treat a lady. They met. Open house night. Student union at JCSU. She was reading about Timothy Drew. He was chilling with some cues. He walked over, introduced himself. Conversation sprang from revolution to cocaine to Jesus. He said everything right. Won her heart when he testified about the women he's lost. Told her how he would just long for one queen to stay in his life. This time, the months passed by. Trust has given in, yet her innocence, she refuses to give up. His cousin telling him, bruh, if she loves you, she'll show it. See, she's just sticking around. So when you make it to the league, she knows she gonna be paid. So they formulated a plan. That night, the moon didn't shine. The stars seemed to fall. He brought her to his cousin's frat party. They sat for a while, talked. He told her how much she means to him, how much his life has changed, and y'all, that night things changed. His cousin brought her a Coke, music banging loud. 30 minutes later, she passes out, carried to the back room. Cousin said, if I do this, she'll never leave me. So he undresses her garments, slips down her panties, and rips her open. Stroke after stroke, the earth cries, he's done. His cousin said, yo, we fam, so ain't no fun unless the homies get some, so more enter inside her. Hours go by, the music ceases. The next day she awakes, feeling empty, cold, no melody in her notes. She trusted him. She runs, runs, and runs. No Usain could bolt her back fast enough. She packs all her clothes, hits the first train back home where mama sit waiting, ready to hold her baby, for she is damaged. Divinity leaks from her war tone. Womb 9 months pass after 9 suicide attempts. She's getting herself together, carrying a seed with a nameless daddy. She's determined. She will bring this child into the world and raise him as a prince. And he will one day be a king, for she is a queen. Her son will never have to worry, for she will never leave phone call and its cousin Day Day. He explains what happened that night. In tears, he apologizes over and over and tells her that Saturday after the party, his cousin was on the field, ball thrown his way, and he was hit the wrong way, MCL torn. He'd only hoped it was his heart out for the season. That night, he overdosed on 9 pills and couldn't be revived. She sat there holding her belly, tears in her eyes, for she was forgiving. His daddy always pushed him, maybe over the cliff. And that same cliff, she hung on to for life. Her water breaks. She prepares to birth life. For this girl is life.
Alright, y'all. And again, that was She Is by Israel the Poet. That's that world debut. Nobody has ever heard it before. It's the exclusive for Conversations with the Queen only. You can check the brother out at ReverbNation.com/IsraelThePoet. IZREAL the Poet. And you can check him out on Facebook as well as Twitter. So, that was a great introduction and warm-up for the show. One last announcement before I bring all our panel guests on. I, your host, Queen Tay, will be featured as a guest tomorrow, May 1st, 2012, on New Kemet Network, speaking about the Women Eminence Global Collective. We're going to be speaking about big sisters and little sisters in business. And again, that is tomorrow, May 1st at 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time or 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. The call-in number for that will be 323-443-7511. And the live stream is on blogtalkradio.com/NUKHEMIT, New Kemet. All right, so I'm going to bring our panel hosts on. And first one should be Avalora. Are you on?
I'm on.
Peace, sister.
Peace. Thank you for having me. How are you?
I'm great. Well, if you just hold on real quick while we bring on the rest of the panel members and welcome them on.
Sure.
We're just going to do that. Sis Latava, peace, are you on the line?
Peace and love, this is Sister Latava.
Yes, peace, sister, welcome. Please hold while we get the rest of the panel members on. This should be Tracy. Tracy, peace, are you on the line? Tracy?
Greetings, Queen.
Peace. Peace and welcome. Please hold while we get the rest of everybody on the line. I know we got a lot of members to get on, but, let's welcome everybody on. And this should be Brother Yuma. Dr. Yuma, are you on the line?
Hey, peace. How's everything?
It's great. Please hold while we get the last panel member on. And this should be Dr. Sade. Dr. Sade, peace. Are you on the line?
This is she.
Oh, yeah. Peace, queen. All right, we have everybody on the line. So, this should be wonderful. Hope you all have your outlines in front of you and we can get into the whole topic and the whole groove. But before we do that, how is everybody feeling?
Wonderful.
Oh, good, yes.
Doing very well, thank you.
All right, that's wonderful. All right, we're going to start off by defining sexual abuse. And now this is just two definitions loosely I found out of a dictionary on sexual abuse. Sexual abuse is assault, a statutory offense that provides that there is a crime to knowingly cause another person to engage in an unwanted sexual act. Sexual, and the second definition is sexual activity that is deemed improper or harmful as between an adult and a child or a person with diminished mental capacity. Now, what I'm going to do is open up the floor, and we're going to let each of you speak on how you would define sexual abuse. We can start with Dr. Yuma.
I would just keep it simple and say any unwanted sexual contact would make up sexual abuse to me.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Dr. Sade?
Mm-hmm. Unwanted, crossing the barriers, entering, you know, someone's space unwantedly. Mm. Unwillingly.
Yes. Yeah. Sister Lateva?
Yes. I would agree. It is Lateva. Thank you. I would agree with the previous two panelists, and I would also add to it any form of manipulation of circumstances that in any way coerces or obscures the judgment of participation in a sexually gratifying manner to the benefit of one party but not mutually consensual between the two.
Yes, yes, and Tracy.
I would describe sexual abuse as any molestation, incest, coercion, manipulation from someone in which is somewhat of authority in a relationship.
All right. And I'm going to start with Sister Tracy on this one because I know this is, you know, one of the areas that you're very, very knowledgeable on, not saying that the rest of the panel isn't, but what are some of the signs of sexual abuse?
Some of the signs of sexual abuse would be the shutting down, the lack of expression, lack of communication. People a lot of times go inward because the first thing they feel is shame and guilt.
Yeah.
And a lot of times what happens is they begin, it starts off with a self-blame. Yeah, so it would be the shutting down, or you may have, it's either one or the other extreme. You have one extreme where it's the shutting down and the silence behavior, or it's the other extreme because there's no balance there. It's an extremity because of the violation. So then the other extreme would be a major behavior change, such as the dressing really provocative all of a sudden, like maybe you've been really, you know, downplaying yourself or whatever, and now all of a sudden you're dressing really provocative, or you're starting to wild out, you know, or your school, this disobedience, just things that just kind of carry on. There's just like a major behavior change, and it's usually based off from one extremity of the shutting down or the really radical. There's no balance. So those are actually some of the signs, the first hint that something's going on.
Okay. Would anybody else on the panel like to jump in and add on what they feel some of the signs could be?
I would. This is Sister Lateva.
Pardon
me. It doesn't matter.
Thank you. I was going to say that I agree. In children, we find a lot of things such as promiscuity, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Also, things such as bedwetting and inability to control their bladder.
Yes, easily
overlooked. In particular, we think of this in young children that they just have not potty trained well. But a lot of times, not the inability to control their bladder is usually because they've been physically manipulated, and they're not physically ready for such a manipulation. They've been, you know, fondled with in some way, so perhaps they have not had raw penetration.
Mm-hmm.
However, there may be other objects, and we have to be mindful that when it comes to sexual abuse, sexual predators is never just a sudden event. They're individuals who prey on their victims over time, and they grow more confident.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So someone like a child, and I'm not necessarily even saying just perhaps a six-year-old, but you may have an 11 or 14-year-old that's having an inability to control their bladder. the smell of urine, meaning they're suffering incontinence, you know, inability to get to the bathroom in time. If you smell urine in their clothes, in their laundry, that may have gone on for years. And most adults who were abused as children will tell you, by the time someone found out, the abuse had gone on for years, or they learned as children to mask it so well. And as adults, we don't really want to know the truth. No one ever knew until it came out at some family reunion. And, of course, the worst-case scenario jumps off from there.
Yeah. And it's very important that we understand that what you talked about, that's a great point of bringing up the inability to control your bladder because, like I mentioned in, I posted this in the event, sexual abuse primarily affects us on a spirit level through our sacral chakra. And the sacral chakra is actually the chakra that is physically associated with the bladder, the liver, the kidneys, and that whole area. So, you know, it's only going to happen, it's going to only be, you know, a logical eventuality that that's going to affect that area. So that's a great, great point. Anybody else who would like to jump in and speak on the signs of sexual abuse?
Yes, this is Ava Laura, and I agree with everything that both sisters have just said. Mm-hmm. And I think it's important to note that sexual abuse looks differently if it's a child versus if it's an adult as well.
Right.
And what you find is a lot of, in addition to definitely the extremes in behaviors, that really is a big one. If it was an outgoing child, now they may become more introverted. More depressed. You see a lot of depression amongst adults, especially amongst women, suicide attempts, things like that. Also amongst women, you see a lot of possibly changes in their eating and addictions, weight gain, things like that. And especially a lot of women sometimes will use, you know, food as a comfort and weight gain to really kind of hide themselves so that they're not seen as sexual beings anymore. So that's a big one as well. Also, too, a lot of regression. So absolutely with the bedwetting, you know, you might have a child who, you know, was fine, was going to the bathroom fine, and now all of a sudden they're regressing in behavior. So maybe they're 5 or 6 years old, and now they're acting like a 2-year-old. Mm-hmm. Because really what happens is when you're sexually abused, it's such a severe boundary offense that a person just does not know how to cope with that. It's just too much. And so everything just kind of gets thrown out of whack, and they don't know how to behave in a normal, natural way anymore because they're so, you know, their system is like really trying to, how do I now deal with this violation that has happened to me? How do I cope with this? And so there's so many different extremities happening all around them on a, you know, mental, spiritual, emotional level. So there's so many different signs, but definitely any extreme in behavior, you know, if you have a person, like I said, who's really outgoing, who now becomes really depressed and shut down, or somebody who was really sort of more introverted and now they become an extrovert. You know, anybody who now all of a sudden they become really interested in sexual things or become very promiscuous, or somebody who, you know, didn't delve into any drugs or alcohol or things like that, now all of a sudden they're out partying, they're drinking, and they're smoking, you know, they're trying to escape. So definitely paying attention to, you know, all the different extremes that can happen with a person.
Mm. And if I can add to that, Queen Tay, especially like the younger children, something that we really need to be made aware of, when that child has a fear of leaving their parents, like going out somewhere and they just, every time they go to this certain place or this certain house with this certain person, they cry and have a fit and they don't want to go, that is like a definite sign that something is going on there. Yeah. Something is going on. Yeah.
Dr. Zuma, would you like to add any comments on the matter?
This is Dr. Shade. I wanted to interject.
Okay.
I totally agree with everyone here on the panel. It's very interesting how the family issues, you know, in my family personally, we had a lot of molestation going on, and it's hush hush, and it's
exactly.
swept under. And you have the aunts and the uncles that hide that, and it come through different addictions, you know, such as
yeah.
alcohol or you know, and being lashing out and they're incarcerated and things, you know, happen and it's never dealt with, you know, and I see different families, clients come to me and they talk about it. Oh, my mother, she believed him and they're like 60 years old and still talking about it. Why is it swept under the carpet? The family issues, the family sexual abuse. Why do black families, particularly black families, it's a lot of families, but particularly black families, hide this? Why do we hide this in our community? Why don't we address it? What is the issue? Does it go back to slavery? Does it go back before that? You know, I would like to put my finger on that and talk about that also, because that's the issue that bothers me, because we need to heal our families so much. We need to heal the families and then heal the communities as well. But we need to get these foundations together. And so we need to look at that aspect and also the spiritual aspect. Is it karmic ties that causes these issues? That's very important. Look at past life issues. You know, everything is already destined. It's already planned out. It's already worked out. What is the lesson? What is the lesson that we need to learn that individual need to learn that went through these issues? What is it? And, you know, working with the root chakra on that and the sacral, and, you know, those are issues I wanted to kind of
I'd like to address Dr. Sade on this. This is Cecil Tava. I'd like to address the points you brought out, Dr. Sade. I would say when it comes to why particularly black families hide abuse, we have to always acknowledge that damaged adults come from damaged childhood.
Mm-hmm.
That's definitely no. We have, of course, we're riddled with damaged adults.
Mm-hmm.
It's easy for adults to quiet a child. Adults don't like to admit that we're wrong and that we have failed a child. We want to believe that we have adult-sized issues, problems, and responsibilities, and children don't have a care in the world. So if you have failed a child, almost seems like you're saying, you failed kindergarten. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
All you had to do was keep the child safe, my goodness. Feed the child, it's, you know, basic stuff. You couldn't do that. So then we'd have to admit our failure. And then in these families, admitting as male members, as mothers, that your sister was raped, that your daughter was raped, that your son was raped. You know, men don't admit that they are sexually abused and they are raped almost nearly as much as women. And I'm not just talking about in prison.
Yeah.
And they don't admit that or talk about it because someone has to accept accountability and responsibility for the
family.
And so that's why it's easier to ignore or pretend. That's where the depression comes from. And then the promiscuity jumps off because then you have something to try to prove that maybe, you know, you just into this. You'll have men who have been raped, and they become promiscuous. Suddenly they want to sit still and be quiet. And really being quiet is an option. And when it comes to touching up in these families where it comes to certain uncles or aunts who turn the blind eye and deaf ear, no one wants to take responsibility, but we're all responsible. And it doesn't just happen in some families. The truth of the matter, it happens in all of our families. Because every person on the entire planet, all 6.5 billion people, knows someone or is someone who was sexually assaulted.
Yes.
It happened in all of our families. And this type of hostility and sexual aggression, you can start tracing it when you start dealing with hostility towards weaker, lesser creatures. You stop being selective about our pair bonding. We stop being selective about if and when we procreate. You know, our having children started being a commodity in this country, and not just this country. So we just started having babies indiscriminately. that wasn't always our norm. Somebody's going to try and lead you to believe that, but that wasn't always the norm. So you're bringing these children here haphazardly. You have all this stuff going on and nothing being invested in us. And people, you find, even in adults, you find adults would do anything for attention. Anything. And these same adults grew up listening to other adults. They grew up as children hearing other adults tell them, we see you, sit down somewhere, get out from under our feet. You ain't got to always show your ass. Pardon me. Then the other thing you turn around, in their adult life, what happens in these abusive relationships? You got a woman listening to some man saying, sit down somewhere, go get me something to eat. Every time we have company, you in here trying to be the center of attention. This abuse just continues to cycle on. We haven't changed anything. The deck of cards is still the same. The victims are the only thing that changes.
I'd like to say something along with that. This is Tracy with Honey Soul Radio. I think you hit it right on the head, sister, but I also want to add that one of the reasons why sexual abuse is swept under the rug, particularly in our community, but, you know, it's going on elsewhere, but we're talking about our community in general right now, but particularly in our community, because it's not just the victim's problem. It no longer becomes the victim's problem when she exposes the problem and the abuser. That no longer becomes the victim's problem. That becomes a family issue. Now the family has a stain. You see what I'm saying? Now everybody in the family is feeling somewhat responsible and has to be accountable for whatever part they may or may not have played in that abuse. That's something we don't want to deal with. We don't want to deal with that blemish. And then also something I heard was that, you know, if that's something that goes back from slavery. Now, I personally believe yes, it does, because just from us as being women and men was getting raped too, you know. But us women having to have this relationship with our rapist slash master slash abuser, you know, and having to have this long-term relationship with him while he's constantly violating us, taking us from our husband's bed into his bed or whatever, outside or however they did it, but literally taking us from their husbands at our husbands at will when they wanted us. And we had to stuff that, and we had to just, you know, maintain and continue to survive and pick up the next day and do whatever we needed to do for the next day, and we had to continuously stuff that and stuff that and stuff that. We ate that. Even the men ate that. You know what I'm saying? So that's something we've learned to do. It is a learned behavior. We have learned. We've learned to hush, to be quiet on that, and just hush that and take that. You know, and it's sad.
I would agree that it is a learned behavior. However, I think we've learned two different lessons, and we don't often like to admit it. Black people, we don't like to admit that we don't know what the hell to do. We don't like to admit that. We don't know what to do. That's one thing we do not like to admit. We have learned that. I would agree wholeheartedly, sister. We have learned behavior. But black women and black men learned two very different things, generally speaking. And this is not speaking wholly of every single black man or every single black woman. But when you start looking at the spiritual coding, the spiritual encoding on the spiritual DNA of us as a people, we stand in this moment as representatives of our ancestors, all of them, great and humble. So when you start looking at that encoding, what black females learned was to be functionally, to appear functionally dysfunctional. We also learned to carry gracefully the burden of being damaged. And I don't ever like to romanticize stuff. And I'm trying to be gentle because I don't really know y'all that well, but y'all understand.
Break it down, babe.
First of all, we didn't have husbands. That whole little term husband is the care of animals. We need to stop playing around. We didn't have that. That's just what somebody told us we should aspire for, one. Two, brothers, they learned something, too. But it's prevalent in what you see playing out today. What they learned was to envy
that slave man. And now they're not satisfied till they have us the same way that white man has had us, which is why you see so much abuse playing out in these households today. Everywhere you look, there's sexual dysfunction.
Right.
Sexual hostility. What do these boys out here want these females calling them? That.
Mm-hmm.
To me, when I want it, I'll take it. They got little songs. I'll take your cookies. I'm thinking about taking it. You're going to romanticize thinking about taking it? What the hell are you talking about?
There's a lot of dysfunction with that.
It's how do you use the term rape and call that hard?
Yeah,
so
it's rape in the song.
Learned behaviors, but you don't get pack rape mentality from someone who didn't envy that so-called pretentious absolute authority that Caucasian males stand and claim. And when we look around our neighborhoods, our communities, you can see it play out in the role play of little children. Mm-hmm. All you got to do is look at any 6, 7, 8, 12-year-old children out on the block playing. He's already snatching her up, grabbing on her, pulling on her, tangling her up, and they just playing. And all you got to do is try to intervene, say, hey, quit playing with her like that. Are we just playing? Where? Where do we play like that?
Yeah.
Where he can handle her any way he wants to. So we did learn some things, but we got to be woman enough to admit and man enough to admit that we learned two very different things. And again, this don't apply to everybody. But if we're honest, what we see in these sisterhoods and what we see in these brotherhoods is some sick stuff. Because males can sit around and talk about how they handle other females, and the other men won't check them.
Yes.
Men will live vicariously through one another. And sisters will live in these subservient, docile positions where you write. I can see it in a small child. I could tell you, I could pick out little girls in kindergarten and tell you which ones are going to end up in an abusive relationship. Because they're being groomed by the women in their lives to be cultivated, to accept abuse, to accept the second class position, to accept that docile servitude position. And you write for the abuse. All somebody got to do is keep expecting more and more and more of you. And the more you try to be that make it happen mama, the more you're getting ready to be bent out of shape. The reason we don't prevent sexual abuse in our community is because we're not honest about sexual abuse in our community. If you never teach a child how to have sex, how you going to tell them when, where, and what they're going to do right or wrong when they are having?
Let's let Dr. Yuma speak a little bit about this because I feel like it's being female-dominated perspective at this point. Let's bring a little bit of a male balance. Dr. Yuma,
there's no problem with that because everything that all of the panelists have said thus far, I wholeheartedly agree with. One thing that I think was not mentioned as far as a sign is low self-esteem. And you know, me personally, I've never been sexually abused, but I've been in relationships with people who have been sexually abused, and actually it's been multiple people, oddly enough. And one of the things that I've noticed is that the self-esteem issues continue on. And even when there's a lot of denial, a lot of burial that goes on with those particular issues, and it resurfaces, as the other panelists have mentioned earlier, resurfaces in other areas. But with the self-esteem aspect of it, even when it comes to sexual relationships, I've seen things such as, and heard of things, you know, such as women wanting themselves to be called out of their names during sexual acts. Some of the things that are perpetuated through some of the culture, whether it be through music videos or pornography or whatever it may be, depict sexual abuse, pulling of the hair, being hit during sexual acts. You know, all types of pain type of getting pleasure from pain and things of that nature, you know, which are abnormal. But when you have low self-esteem, when you are showing that you really don't have a caring for yourself, you allow these things to happen to yourself. You allow yourself to be abused through the person who you care about.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something that I've seen, and you know, through my conversations with others who have been sexually abused, that I've come to see as well. And another thing that I wanted to just touch on was the aspect of men being, you know, black men in particular, supporting sexual abuse and being the white man, the white slave master mentality. And what I wanted to add to that was that the symbol of manhood is power.
Yeah.
You know, and that's one thing that's always associated with manhood is power. And the black man in the United States in particular is made to be powerless.
Yeah. And
so sometimes that power is reasserted through sexual acts, unfortunately.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the way that it's become acceptable. It's like if we can't have it through the means where we're supposed to have it, then we are going to have it through whatever means we can take that power. And unfortunately, a lot of black men fall into those cycles where that power is taken through sexual abuse, is taken through any types of acts of over-aggression that are unwarranted, which is why we also have a high rate of death and, you know, homicide, black-on-black homicides and things of that nature that are going on within our community, in addition to the rape, in addition to the molestation, you know, and things of that nature, where we are taking advantage of people who are deemed to be weaker than we are. You know, but again, that also goes back to self-esteem as well. If we feel powerless, then we have a low self-esteem.
Exactly.
Now, respectfully, I have to say some of that is bullshit. I have to say that. Hold on. We got too many sisters saying, hold the hell up. These brothers are not out here raping these sisters because this white man has made them feel powerless. Stop agreeing with shit that you know ain't right. Wait, hold on. Hold fast. If black men treated white folks the way they treat black women, they wouldn't have to have low self-esteem. I done gave birth to plenty of babies. Ain't one of them came here with a low self-esteem. What does a low self-esteem baby cry like? Low self-esteem comes from abuse, misuse, and neglect.
Yeah.
And at no time, and I have to say it, I don't mean to be offensive, but I will be. You're talking to too many sisters to just brush over, well, really, we can't explain away misbehavior, period.
Right.
Period. There is no excuse, esteem or otherwise.
Yeah, no, I'm not making it. I want to be clear that I'm not making it.
Well, hold up, hold up. As a host, let me interject. Let me intervene and let me speak my piece because, you know, as a host, I am the host of the show and I will be mediating this whole conversation. I don't believe the brother meant to make it as an excuse because there is no excuse and there is nobody who can ever come up with an excuse. But as those who are trying to explore an avenue of prevention as well as healing, we need to understand the sources and the causes of these issues. And I have to respectfully disagree with you and say that's not bullshit. Because a man who does feel powerless and a person who does feel powerless, a person who's been oppressed, is going to act out in certain behavioral patterns and issues because they do not feel of themselves that they have worth. They are abused in society, in a societal format. They are abused socially, so therefore they abuse in turn because that's their learned behavior. They've learned to become abusers because they've been abused. Now, I'm not speaking, and you can have the right to have your opinion, and, you know, of course, this is an open forum. We're all speaking on how we feel about the thing.
We're having an intelligent dialogue here, using that same logic and reasoning. Who do black women rape?
And there are actual black women who do. I've heard of cases where black women have raped them.
It's abuse overall. Put numbers next to each other, because when you start talking about oppression, sisters are oppressed by the oppressed.
Yeah,
we are living in this mode of oppression, so we can't use that as an excuse.
But
black women rape other black women.
Let me interject right quick. This is Dr. Sade. Let me interject right quick. We kind of, you know, not getting off subject, but we're talking about abuse and hoe, and women do abuse men.
Yes.
They do. And it's a learned trait.
We're talking about sexual abuse.
No, I understand that, and they can.
I'm not saying you don't have any females. I'm saying put the numbers next to each other using your same logic and reasoning.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we got to be straight up. If you tell me that because a person moves around in society is made to feel powerless, any person, and therefore they act out sexually aggressive, show me the women who do the same thing, and we live under the oppression of the oppressed. We cannot excuse misbehavior, period.
No,
you
we're not.
Well,
we
can't.
And we're not trying
to
be honest about it.
Yes.
We're
not, it's unexcusable. All around is unexcusable, whether it comes from men or female, or whether it's 75% men or 25% women doing the issue. The issue, all of it is bullshit. You understand what I'm saying? Abuse is bullshit. All of that. You want to put it out there, period. It ain't right for, it is not right at all for a woman to abuse a man or a man to abuse a woman, period. That is the fact of the matter. Right.
And as the host, may I interject? And as the host, may I interject on a certain level? Women, by nature, we're not as aggressive as men are. And we tend to be emotionally much stronger than men. As far as when it comes to being able to endure a lot of issues, I believe it was said by a brother that I used to speak to, a woman is like a palm tree and a man is like an oak tree. A woman will bend and wave in the breeze and still be there around after a hurricane, but an oak tree as a male will break because men feel they have to be so externally strong. They tend to not be able to handle internal issues. They tend to be overly internally sensitive, whereas women, we tend to be able to be much stronger. As the ones who carry life, we're much more nurturing. We have an innate ability to be more nurturing. But let's not get off topic and let's not start to debate each other because we are here to, you know, share information, be resourceful, and, you know, let everybody who is listening in. We do have a great listening audience, and we do have 1 hour and 16 minutes left in the live stream, and I'd like to remind everybody that we will open up, we'll open up for calls at around the hour and around the hour and 15-minute mark. So that'll be when there's 45 minutes left in the live stream, and the call-in number is 917-932-8881. Let's knock it off topic. Let's try to be, you know, gracious, and not that we can't express our opinions, because I want everybody to express their opinion, you know, and everybody's opinion is powerful, but I want us to, you know, focus on being helpful. All right.
Sister Tech Queen, can I say something? Can I say something real quick just to add to that? Just to speak about the sexual predator and their behavior. Just by the way, this is Sister Tracy.
Okay.
The sexual predator and their behavior modality, they usually seek out dominance and submission. So there is always a control issue there when there is a predator that is seeking out to exploit a sexual situation. So that's usually the behavior modality of dominance and submission.
Mm-hmm.
Where do we go from here? Where do we go from here? We're really here to express what's going on, the main subject, sexually
And healing.
Abusing victims. How do we heal from this, you know, situation?
Right.
How do we talk to our children? You know, I talk to my oldest son is 14, my youngest son is 8. I had to start very young talking to them about sex, like three, four years old. Why? Because other children were talking about it in school.
Mm-hmm.
And we had to start, you know, because the songs that that their mothers and fathers were letting them listen to, the videos, I had to explain, you know, the correct way. I had to let them know that they was coming and they was asking questions. So at this point, how do we deal with situations? I know it starts home with family, and then how do we heal from the situations that that come across in our families, our mothers, our ourselves, or whatever? You know, how do we deal with this? I know that was like two questions, but How do we deal with it?
We have to stop doing what we've been doing, which is we keep justifying it. As long as we keep believing what we keep believing. And I don't know how to not bring us right here to topic. We're talking about how to end it, how to prevent it, how to cure it. As long as we keep raising daughters to believe that we can withstand more and brothers can't afford to hear this, that, and the other, then we keep letting our men off the hook and we keep allowing our fathers, because I know I protected my father. I did not want to break his heart and tell him he had failed to protect me. And that's true of children.
Yes.
So as long as we keep the palm tree, oak tree analogy alive, then we keep teaching our daughters to absorb, 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 and keep teaching our sons vicariously entitlement, 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 that we won't ever shine the light on it. And it isn't that we're trying to let them off the hook.
Yeah.
It's a byproduct of doing that. If we say, well, we're emotionally stronger, you know, we can withstand it and we can function forward anyway. So we won't tell them that they're killing us.
I'm not saying we can function forward anyway. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that in general, it's the nature of the divine feminine and that's the nature of the masculine.
I'm not at war with you. I'm at war with
you. I'm not at war with you either, sister. I'm just clarifying a point that I was making. I feel like you're taking it in a wrong context. And you're morphing what I'm saying into a different, a justification for it. And we're not talking about a justification, but in order to understand how to prevent it, we have to understand where we are and what it is. And it's going to affect the sexes differently. It's going to affect, because we are different psychologically, mentally, our hormones are different, we're going to react different, we're socially developed in different ways. So it's going to affect the sexes differently.
Yeah, we don't process things the same way.
Exactly.
As far as how men are raised, you know, just as Sister Tay was saying, as far as how men are raised and as far as how women are raised. And, again, I agree with you on all points, except for the point where you were saying that, you know, you don't think that it's valid that black men are made to be cowards. But, you know, outside of that, again, part of, of the thing is making us to be or more expressive, and that's empowering in itself. You know, black men suppressing their emotions is one of the biggest issues. You know, because it's like we don't know how to. We're not raised in a way, I should say, where it's promoted for us to express our emotions outside of anger, outside of aggression. And either that or happiness, which tends to come through all of the wrong avenues. You know, so part of the solution to me is changing the way that we are conditioning our young children. You know, changing the way that we are conditioning our young girls and changing the way that we are conditioning our young boys. I definitely agree with Dr. Sade, you know, as far as teaching them at early ages what to expect, you know, what to accept and what not to accept as far as forms of touching. And that's one thing that I can definitely vouch for when I came into their lives. You know, that was already set in place. That was already set in place, and I was so proud to see that, you know. And the children, will, they're very open and very expressive because we are expressive with them. You know, and a lot of times when things like this happen, children are afraid to come to their parents. They're afraid to come to whoever and open up about it. You know, and I actually saw a documentary, and I hope this is not too far off topic, but I saw a documentary about children who were being raped in South Africa.
Yeah.
And these children did not know how to come out and express that they were raped, but one of the ways that they got them to open up about it was through their drawings, you know, through expressive therapy, through their artwork. And they were able to draw and depict what exactly happened to them, what the person looked like, and all types of stuff like that. You know, so we have to cultivate our children's mode of expressions as far as children are concerned, and adults have the same issue. You know, many times adults, we, again, that whole burial aspect of things, it gets buried so deep inside. Sometimes people forget it happens to them. Sometimes people will, you know, remember that it happens to them, and they'll have trust issues and things of that nature, and it'll play out like that for the relationship. And they can't pinpoint why they have trust issues because the person who they're with doesn't even deserve that.
Yeah.
You know,
well,
so.
And as well, I'm talking about, as far as the sister was talking about with the male and the female aspect, and not to make an excuse for anybody who goes through this or who is a predator or a sexual abuser, not to make any excuse for it, but at the same time, we need to understand how to treat a woman who's going through it and understand how to treat a man who's going through it. Also, we need to understand how to balance our young boys and our young girls socially and understand how their needs, they need, the men in this culture definitely need to understand more how to get in touch with that aspect of the feminine side, because they have both. They have the divine feminine and the divine masculine within them. So they do need to understand how to get in touch with that divine feminine within them that allows them to become nurturing, that allows them to understand what to endure, that allows them to understand how to be stronger and how to come out of certain emotional damage. And as well as the women need to understand how to stand up for themselves. Like somebody put in the chat, is like, we need to teach about self-defense. That's another aspect. We need to teach our young daughters how to defend themselves physically, how to, when somebody comes and attacks them, with my daughters, when I have children, I want them to know this so that whoever tries to mess with my daughter who thinks that she is going to be their prey, they know already she got it together. She can handle it. I don't have to worry that she can't handle it. So we need to teach these things and practicalize it. Let's just not talk about, okay, this happened, that happened, and all these different things. We know that these things happen. And you know, my heart goes out to everybody and who's been a sufferer of sexual abuse. But let's practicalize it. What do we do now? How do we prevent it now? Thank you, Dr. Yuma. I'd like to move on about, not because we don't have that much time. We only have an hour to finish discussing this. I'd like to move on, panel, with your permission, to speaking out about it. How do we begin to open up a dialogue about sexual abuse?
Well, this is Sister Tracy. I'd like to start on that. I want to say that, first of all, we're going to have to start in the home, because
yes,
we can't be in everybody's home. You know, it's just not possible. So we need to start within our own family, within our own home. I'm a survivor of sexual abuse. So when my daughters were coming up, and even my sons, there was things that I just did not allow in my home. I didn't allow my young girls to go sit on men's lap. I don't care what man it was.
Mm-hmm.
Uncles, lost distant cousins, none of that. You don't go sit on that man's lap and let him bounce you and jump you. And not saying that it was nothing freaky with him, just I'm in a protective mode now because I'm a survivor.
Yeah.
Okay, so, and also sitting down with my children and talking to them about it, like the sister said, at a very young age, letting them know what's appropriate and not appropriate, appropriate touching, not appropriate touching, inappropriate experiences, not appropriate experiences, in watching your environment.
Yeah.
I teach them to pay attention to their environment and pay attention to people, but most of all, things I do is I have questioned my children. Like every other month, I sit down with my kids and be like, has anyone touched you in this manner? And we can talk about this, and I don't care who it is, I will believe you. See, that's the first thing a child or an adult has to know, that there is trust there, because that's the biggest thing, is the shame and the guilt. They don't feel they can trust anybody, because it's usually somebody that you're very familiar with.
Yeah.
You know, nine out of ten of the predators and the abusers are either a family member or in close relation to you in some type of authority.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a trust issue there. So now you didn't trust this person, and now you don't know who to trust. So now they didn't also broke the trust. So the child or the adult doesn't really know who to go to, how to go to them. If they're the blame, are they going to get, you know, are they going to be the one ridiculed, or is their family going to go against them and be mad at them? So they have all this going on. So the biggest thing that I am going to suggest is to communicate with your children. And there's a tone
in a way that you can communicate where you don't make them feel like it's a bad thing, that like they don't feel uncomfortable coming to tell you. That's the thing, because they're going to be uncomfortable anyway.
Yeah.
They're going to be uncomfortable, but you have to let them know that the discomfort does not be out telling you. And
yeah.
you have to prepare your mind and your spirit as much as you can for warfare. Because if your child comes to you and tells you that they uncle, your favorite uncle, is touching them, you got to be ready to handle that as much
yeah.
as you possibly can. So there's also things that you have to do within yourself to be ready for a situation if that happens to come, along with communicating with your children. So I just wanted to say that.
Well, thank you, Sister Tracy. That was very well put.
Queen, may I please, this is Sister Oteva. I'm going to need to excuse myself in 1 minute, and I just wanted to greet the panel properly. I didn't realize that we had a two-hour show. I wasn't attentive, and I double-scheduled myself.
It's okay.
I just want to thank you for this opportunity, and I'm going to actually be able to continue listening. I just have to exit the phone line. So hopefully I can stay in the chat room, but I have another engagement as well.
All right. Thank you, sis, and thank you for calling in.
Peace,
and Green.
Peace,
green.
Peace.
All right. Peace, Green. All right. So we're going to continue on. We do have an hour left in the live stream. In about 15 minutes, I am going to open up the lines for questions. We do seem to have some callers with their hand raised already. Please hold your questions and comments until 15 minutes is up. We are still breaking this down. We got a lot of material to cover, and this is such a vivacious topic that it's, like, very hard to squeeze it into 2 hours. We're probably going to go over time. And that call-in number, if you do want to ask a question or have a comment, is 917-932-8881, and you can call in with your questions, comments, or whatever you have to say, and, you know, for our lovely panel here. So we're still on how do we open up a dialogue about it. So anybody, the floor is open.
I want to come in, and I just want to, here in the DMV area, which is the Washington, D.C. metro area, Maryland, Virginia, I want to give a shout-out to Queen Afi, Afi Gaston, who has an organization called Domestic Violence Wears Many Tags.
Mm-hmm.
And through her organization, that is exactly what she opens up dialogue about sexual abuse and things, any type of abuse,
mm-hmm.
you know. And I think that is so important because a lot of times it's just not practical. It's not the first thing that comes to mind for us to discuss with our children at home, you know. But by putting things like this out in the community where it is accessible for free on top of that, you know, you don't have to pay to get into these places and discuss things that are benefiting us as a community. But by putting it out there to the forefront and saying it's okay to talk about this in a public forum, and these are people who have been through these experiences, and let's work through this, talk about our experiences, express ourselves, and focus on healing together. That's powerful. You know, and I've brought the children that we have over to a few of Queen Afi's events where she is talking about sexual abuse, appropriate and inappropriate touching and things of that nature. And it's been very, very helpful in opening up the dialogue and continuing that process that Dr. Sade had already started with speaking to the children at young ages, you know, about inappropriate touching and things of that nature. But actually being in an environment, now you've been around people who are not afraid to talk about their experiences with it on top of that. And how it affected them, you know, it brings things to a whole different perspective. So I think the community aspect of it, the fellowship, and being able to discuss these things with other people, you know, who are not laughing at it, who are not ashamed about it, I think that's very useful also.
Yeah. Give out Queen Afi's information, please, because, like, I want our listeners, if they're in the area, definitely be able to get in contact with her.
Let me see. What I do, I'll look it up because I have it somewhere stored, and I can post it in the chat room, and I can post it on the Conversations of the Queen Facebook page.
Okay, that sounds great.
Big shout out
anybody
to Queen
else who has? Yeah. All right, anybody
yeah,
else
this
who
is
has?
Ava Laura. This is Ava Laura. I definitely want to piggyback on a few things that were said.
Okay.
This is certainly a multi-layered, problem that we're dealing with. But one of the things that I do want to touch on, and it was, slightly mentioned before, is that, one of the first things that has to happen in order to properly address this and to really heal from it is acceptance.
Mm-hmm.
And that is accepting that this really is a problem, that this really does happen, that sexual abuse truly
yeah.
is an issue, and not being in denial that, this could happen or this has happened or it does happen, but truly accepting that it is a problem, it is pervasive and it can, in fact, happen and it has, in fact, happened. That's one of the first things, because if you don't accept that it's a problem, you can't heal from it. That's what I always say to my clients. If you can't see it, if you can't feel it, you can't heal it.
Yeah.
And I think one of the biggest problems is the denial, is not accepting that this is, in fact, a problem.
Yeah.
So I think that's one of the first things when we're talking about healing is truly just acknowledging that this is, in fact, a problem.
Yeah.
The other thing that's really important is, and I think this was touched on, is that if you as an adult have difficulty in communicating and you're not necessarily emotionally mature, if you cannot handle these things, how can you then talk to a child about this?
Ooh, very great point.
And so we have a lot of adults walking around who are truly just adult children.
Yes.
They have not healed themselves, and so there's no way that they can help somebody else to heal when they have not healed themselves.
Very
and
true.
So it really starts with us as an individual. Everybody always talks about we need to heal the community, we need to heal the family, we need to heal
yes.
the world, we need
exactly.
to heal ourselves.
Exactly.
When you heal yourself first, then you can help to heal other people. And so if you are not in the position, if you recognize that you really are not in the position to help other people because you have your own things that you need to work out, then I think that you need to do exactly what Dr. Yuma was talking about. You need to get help. You
exactly.
need to find resources in your area. You need to find other people who can help you. And I think in the Black community, we have a very big problem with seeking help. We have a big problem with admitting that we cannot do it all on our own, that we are not superwoman, that we are not superman, and I can't handle this. That is a huge problem. And I think that when you recognize that there's problems going on here, I need healing, my family needs healing, my children need healing, I can't do it on my own, where can I now go to get help? I need to admit that I need help and I need to seek it out. And I need to accept it when people offer it to me.
Yeah. Very, very great.
So, those are some of the biggest things that I've seen with sexual abuse, but, all kinds of abuse and all kinds of trauma is people just not admitting that there is a problem, not being able to handle the problem. They're not emotionally mature enough to handle it, and then not seeking out the help that they need to handle something that is really just too big for them. It's too much.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really too much for any one body to handle. It
yes,
really is.
It is.
I mean, even the most emotionally mature person, me as a counselor, I can't imagine what it'd be like if that happened to me. I would have to go seek help.
Yeah.
And so recognizing that it's okay to be vulnerable. It is okay to need help.
Yeah.
It is okay to need other people. It is okay.
Exactly. I have been strong because I have been weak. Very great point, sis. I want Sister Tracy to say what she just said in the chat online. On air. I want her to say
yes.
that on air.
Peace. There is a local rape crisis outreach center in your community, in everyone's community. I am a volunteer for rape crisis outreach. I've been a volunteer for the past 8 years, and we deal with all types of rape, sexual abuse and sexual violence. So there is help out there. There's counseling. There's help for you to help a loved one who has been through any type of sexual assault or abuse. You can learn more about sexual assault. You can get they have classes. They have and it's all free. So they have resources, local resources, as well as international resources. I also put a link up in the chat room. It's rain.com, RAINN.org. It's Rape, Abuse, and Incest National Network. Okay? You can find all of the help that you need right there. And it is one thing that I do personally like that they do, if you prefer to speak with someone of your own culture, they have someone there to help you that understands the cultural issues that we also have, you know, concerning a lot of, you know, sexual silence and things of that nature. So by all means, please get help. Also, there is a sexual assault online hotline, national hotline, and there's also a national sexual assault hotline number. And I'm going to go ahead and put that up as well. It's 1-800-656-HOPE for those of you who are listening in. 1-800-656-HOPE.
Yeah. Well, we had someone in the chat who said that they don't believe that these centers are always the healthiest for us. Well, it's not so much that, and like I responded in the chat, I said, then let's open up ones that are. If you don't agree with this, it's not for everybody. And it's not for, you know, it's not for everybody, and we're not always going to feel comfortable, especially because it tends to not be a lot of the times people from our community who are volunteering in these organizations. So we don't always feel the most comfortable speaking about it, and we were often taught, especially in the Black community, you don't tell your problems to white folks. So
right.
We don't often
yeah.
feel comfortable opening up to white people or people outside of our nationality or even outside of our family about our issues. So we need to figure out ways that we can actually, like what Queen Afia is doing, we need to find ways to have that on a national level. But until we do, let's utilize every resource we can, and maybe it can be a help to somebody. So thank you for mentioning that.
You're welcome.
I think we touched a bit on the history of it. I don't really want to go back into that again. But as talking about sexual abuse, especially specifically in the Black community, I'd like to speak a little bit more on how it affects us holistically, meaning how it affects us mind, body, and spirit. And I'd like to start with Avalora on this one, if you wouldn't mind opening it up on how it affects us holistically.
Sure. I mean, we've definitely, you know, I think we really kind of talked about that a little bit even when we were talking about just the signs, you know, just the different things that you notice when somebody has been sexually abused. And one that I definitely forgot to mention, which thank you, Dr. Yu, for mentioning, is, you know, low self-esteem. That is a huge, huge, that's a huge sign, and it's also one of the major ways that people are impacted, men and women. And I think it even goes deeper than self-esteem. It really goes to just a feeling of unworthiness.
Yeah.
You know, just not feeling that you are worth love. You are not worth being protected. You know, you are not worth, you know, having the good things that everybody else wants to have in life. And so it can really become a cycle of not living up to your potential. You know, having these gifts, having these talents, but never really fully exploring them, just settling for the crumbs,
yeah.
you know, so to
yeah.
speak. Just settling for whatever, you know, whatever somebody gives to you because you are not worth more.
Exactly.
And,
settling
you know,
mediocre.
The thing about, exactly. And so you can look at the school system. You can look at how our children are performing. You know, you can look at all of these different things and say, well, why is that happening? But if you don't feel that you're worth anything, why are you going to try to excel? Why are you going to try to be better? You know, and when you are sexually abused, like I said, it is such a boundary violation that it strips everything away from you. You know, what you could have been has now been taken away from you. So
right.
we don't even
robbed.
Know the type of person that you could have been had you not had this experience.
Exactly.
So really, it shatters and it changes your entire life. And, you know, of course, with counseling and with all the things that we're talking about, you can certainly heal from it. You can certainly get better. But your life has changed. You have to accept that things
exactly.
have changed, that what you once
yeah.
were is gone. So you okay. have to grieve that loss of this person that is now gone and now heal yourself and empower yourself to become the person that you are now going to be.
This person
so
can be fair.
It really is a loss. It's a loss. It's a loss on so many different levels. And, you know, and really it's also trying to gain your power back, understanding that you do have power, that even though this happened to you and you were not protected, your family didn't protect you, your friends didn't protect you, society didn't protect you, and you couldn't protect yourself. Even though that didn't happen, you are still worthy. You are still worth having what it is that you want in life. And so you have to take that back and always, you know, understand that the sexual abuse, what happened to you, the trauma does not define who you are.
No.
Don't let it take away who you are. Allow it to help you to become greater.
And that
really is, you know, such the violation in sexual abuse, is that people have to recover from it and understand that they can be greater than that, that they don't have to now be the statistic, the sexually abused person that now can't live a life and be happy and have love and have abundance.
Yeah, exactly. Very true. Very true. Who else would like to step up to the mic and speak on how it affects us holistically in the Black community?
Well, another thing that, I mean, I think most of it, as Sister Ava Laura said, I think most of it was really touched on earlier. But one thing that I've come to see also is the confusion about sexuality.
Yeah.
And I think especially when people experience this as children and teenagers, they tend to be confused sexually about their sexuality. Especially if they're raped or sexually abused by someone of the same sex. But it can work both ways, actually. You know, it can work if a woman abuses a young boy, for example.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the young boy can grow up and have a disassociation with women because of that sexual abuse encounter. Or the young boy may enjoy it, and he may... you know, it may actually, you know, it may make, you know, have that promiscuous effect, or he may become bisexual, or, you know, a woman, you know, can have an abusive encounter with another young girl, you know, who may enjoy it, and she may think that she's lesbian, you know, or she may have an emotional detachment from a man. And that may turn her to lesbianism. So that's another thing that sometimes can occur through sexual abuse that often gets overlooked, and we just see the result of it. And it spreads throughout the community.
Great point. Anybody else would like to speak on it?
Yeah. This is Dr. Sade. I wanted to touch on metaphysics and the holistic health. I've noticed that in our community and talking and dealing with people on both levels, spiritually and dealing with them through their physical manner. A lot of us suffer as a whole, our people, from diabetes, and diabetes is related to love issues and love and suppressing that or being burnt by someone they love or thought loved them or, you know, was hurt. And I've seen that displayed, and it's coming out as dis-ease in our bodies when you don't deal with something, when you don't deal with something spiritually, it comes out as a disease. And I see heart conditions, you know, with something that's way heavy on the heart, heavy on the spirit, things like that. You have congested heart failure. You have high blood pressure, things like that. Or again, the diabetes and thyroid issues. Thyroid, because you're not speaking up. You lost your voice. So I see that.
Right.
And fibroids as well as womb issues.
Oh, definitely womb issues. Womb issues, fibroids, anger towards men. When I deal with women that have fibroids, I said, what man are you angry at? Who are you angry at? Oh, my father did this. It's a whole lot. Oh, my uncle abused me. It's a whole lot. You know, my boyfriend did this. My brother did this. It's always a man. Always a man. And they have these humongous fibroids. It's always a connection spiritually. Oh, you've been holding all that heat all that hot energy in your womb, and you are you got Craig and them up in there. You got relationships up in there that
yeah.
you're up in there, and you're not dealing with it spiritually. And we have to deal with it spiritually. A lot of people don't understand and even comprehend that is spirit
right.
before it even hit the body. And so we
yeah,
have
right.
to deal with these issues. We have to deal and learn and know how to deal with them. And people are scared, saying it's hoodoo, voodoo, whatever. But we had to deal with spiritual essence
yeah.
first, not religion. Well, I ain't talking about religion. Let's get that.
Uh-huh.
We're talking about spiritual essence before we can even deal with the physical. You understand? Because we can take all the you know, the herbs, the gemstones, the Reiki and all that. It's not going to wholly work 360 degrees until
mm-hmm.
we deal with spirit first, with the issue, with the root cause, the foundation. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So
you own that.
We need to.
You own that. Because, you know, as children, when we're very young, you know, we love to touch. We, you know, we have that young energy, and we're actually very sensual beings at a young age. You know, all of our experiences from all of our senses, such as smell and sight and hearing and taste, all of that is awakened, and we are having these great experiences. We're extremely creative. We're imaginative. We're loving. And as children, we play. We befriend others. We hug. You know, we have all of this loving expression. And, you know, here in Western society, when we come up into the age of six, we're told to start suppressing those things and not to trust.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
And so with that, we begin getting blockage so that
yes.
loving, playful, free spirit is no longer nurtured or accepted
yes.
among the culture. It is a part of our childhood development that we're taught to do this. And then we are taught that sex is nasty, we have sexual
mm-hmm.
guilt, shame, blockage, blocking our ability to experience friendly enthusiasm, just being conscious and creative. All of our sexual freedoms and fullness and our enjoyments have all been blocked now because we've already been given this. And then so now to have somebody inappropriately touch you,
mm-hmm.
now that's just actually brought on more blockage. Going back to what the sister says as far as the blockage in the womb, you said something very powerful, Queen Tay. You were saying how about the sacral chakra, how that energy right there, and if you notice, that sacral chakra is located right where the womb area is.
Yep, right on top of the womb.
That's right. It's 2 inches below the navel. Now, that sacral chakra, that second chakra, that belly chakra, it governs our emotions. It governs our self-worth. It governs our confidence. It governs our individuality, our creativity. It even governs our ability to be open with other people.
Mm-hmm.
So when that violation occurs, the sacral chakra, the chakra energy, is blocked. And then you feel an emotional overload. You become more manipulative, oppressed with thoughts of sex, or either oppressed with thoughts of not having sex, frigid, so to speak. And then you have these sexual dysfunctions and a lack of physical energy. So I'm right along with the sister that the healing does
mm-hmm.
begin from within or inward
mm-hmm.
out. Inward out, the healing does begin. And like she said, people look at it, they say voodoo. Oh, that's them root workers over there. But I actually do chakra therapy, you know, in my line of work, because I do deal with being a sexual empowerment coach. I do deal with a lot of women who have blockage in that
yes.
area. So I do the chakra therapy work, and I'm actually learning about sacral cranium. But
what?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. You know, you go in and you help in this area, and they immediately, you know, label you as being some kind of voodoo queen or root doctor. But really, these are our traditions.
Yes.
These are our traditions. These are our roots. This is how we dealt with things prior to the Western way.
Exactly.
So, yeah, you know, I just want to applaud the sister on what she said for that.
Thank you for speaking to that. I'd like to add in a little bit on what the sister was talking about. I'm going to read an excerpt from Gemstones and Crystals by Diane Stein. It's talking about the belly chakra or the sacral chakra. The belly chakra is located between the pubic bone and the navel. It is rooted in the spine. Orange is its color for this center, and orange gemstones are used to heal it.
The basic needs for the center are sexuality, self-esteem, and personal power, and power in the world. This center accesses the lowest level of the emotional body. It houses one's unhealed inner child. Images of both the life, this life, and past life traumas are stored here, and the ability to let go of old emotions is based at this chakra. The belly chakra body parts include the ovaries, uterus, fallopian tubes, pelvis, lumbar spine, kidneys, bladder, and the large intestine.
Yes.
So that's talking about the sacral chakra. And that's from the book, again, Healing with Gemstones and Crystals by Diane Stein. So I'd like to get into a little bit real quick. We do have, actually, before I get into anything else, we do have one caller with their hand raised for the longest while, so I would like to get them on and have them and let them be able to speak. This caller is from the 301 area code. Hi, you are on Live with Conversations with the Queen. Do you have any questions or comments pertaining to healing from sexual abuse?
Yes, I wanted to make a comment to Sister Tracy. I just wanted to let her know I really felt what she was saying tonight. Most definitely got to watch the family and everyone. I mean, absolutely everyone that has access to the kids, period. Whether it be a daycare provider, whatever, you understand? I'm not sure if it was Sister Tracy or not, but mentioned something about us healing ourselves. I really, really agree with that because...
That was Avalora.
Okay. Well, she really touched me. I wanted to give her a big up on that because, you know, you can't save a person from drowning if you don't know how to swim, you understand?
Yeah.
And that's pretty much all I have to say at this point. I'm going to continue on the show. I may have something to say later on.
All right, well, please do, and thank you for calling in. Anybody else who has any questions or comments can call in at the number 917-932-888-1, and you can just raise 1 by pressing the number 1. We do have another caller in from the 301 area code as well, but their first 3 digits are 486. Call it 301-486. You are live on Conversations with the Queen. Do you have any comments or questions?
Yes, I do. I wanted to ask, how do you know that you are healed from sexual assault? I am a victim of it as of 3 years old, and I never really faced it until about 5-6 years ago. That was the first time I actually cried about it and really faced it. So how do you know when you are healed from it?
Good question.
Anybody on the panel would like to handle that?
This is Ava Laura. I'm sure others might have something to say, but if you're asking a question like that, normally I would say that you probably haven't healed from it.
Uh-huh.
Because when you're healed from something, you know it.
Okay.
You eat, you breathe it, you feel it. It's in the embodiment of everything that you are. You just know it. So you still have some work to do. And like you said, it happened at a very early age, and you just started dealing with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it really does take time. So give yourself that time. You know, be patient with yourself. Don't feel like it's going to happen overnight. Give yourself that time to work through it.
Okay.
Yeah.
But, you know, one of the ways that you'll really know is that the things that used to affect you in a negative way no longer affect you.
Okay.
Right.
So whatever it is that you're experiencing, you know, say, you know, you just don't trust men in relationships,
mm-hmm.
you know, things like that, it'll start to dissipate. You know, maybe you had communication problems with men, or, you know, you would get into an argument or something and it would blow up, you know, to this big extreme, bigger than it needed to be, you
mm-hmm.
know, all of these different things. And when you've been healed from it, you recognize that doesn't happen anymore. You can get into an argument, you can have a disagreement, but be calm and not blow up and not be able to control your emotions.
Okay.
So different things like that, when the things that negatively used to affect you, they don't affect you anymore. So not to say that negative things won't happen, but they just don't affect you in the same ways.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
It does.
Now, anybody else like to add on and help your sister out with that question?
Sister, can I ask you, have you spoken with anybody else about the abuse?
Yes, I have. I have my I actually told my mom, but me being so young, you really don't know how to explain that at 3 years old. So I remember like it was yesterday. I can tell her the whole entire story. But, you know, she cries so bad about it. And I'm like, Mom, you know, I'm okay. I'm okay now. Yeah, I'm fine. You know, this happened when I was 3. I'll be 28 next month. And, you know, she's like pushing me to, you know, I think you need to call somebody. You need to deal with the authorities on that. And I'm like, no, I don't want to relive that.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, so she knows and, like, my sisters know.
Yeah, that's usually what happens after a long period of time. And I want to also ask you, have you spoken to anyone else that you trust about it?
My sister and my best friend.
Okay. Now, since you are on the path to healing, because that's, you know, when you started crying about it and really dealing with the issue and it came forefront, that's what your spirit was basically telling you. It's time to heal from this, okay? So what I'm going to suggest right now where you're at is to start journaling. Do you journal?
Mm-hmm. I do.
Okay, yeah. Start, get your book. Simply write just for that, just for those issues and those things that come up and those memories, and talk to yourself through your writings.
Okay.
Talk to yourself through your writings. That's a great start, because it seems like, you know, you've opened up with this issue, and that's great. You are definitely on your way. So you don't want to shut that back down. You do want to deal with it. And like the sister said, you're going to know with every fiber in your being once that issue has, you know, is healed.
Okay.
You'll know.
Could that be why I'm dealing with relationships I have been dealing with, as far as like accepting anything?
Well, sexual abuse definitely it pans out into your relationships, especially your love and romantic relationships.
Right. That's what I mean.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. They will be affected until you start dealing with the issues.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
And like we were giving out this, you know, it's dealing a lot with your sacral chakra, like we were talking about, especially your lower nature chakras, anywhere that's in your from your root chakra, your sacral chakra, and your solar plexus chakra are going to be affected by these types of issues, because they all deal with the issues that can stem from sexual abuse. So I recommend you getting into, like you said, you know, journaling as well, acknowledging your emotional aspect and your emotional feelings with it. Get into some gemstone work if that's what draws you. Also, unleash your creativity again. Anything that you're creative about or you're passionate about, start to do those things. It will help to heal you. Your creativity will help to free you. So,
and if I can also suggest one more very positive thing that some women don't necessarily take seriously when it comes to healing from sexual abuse is abstinence.
Okay.
Abstinence for a certain amount of time. Give yourself that. Give yourself that time to just really, you know, do some downplay on the whole sexual, you know, activity, you know, and start really getting in touch with your feelings about sex.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the only way you could do it, because you have to practice some type of abstinence. We spoke about that last night on Dr. Mutua's show, The Manifestation, on Blog Talk Radio. So, you know, we spoke about sexuality in the black community and healing, and we also talked about empowerment. However, abstinence is a really big key to your healing.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, thank you for calling in, sister. Stay on the line and listen in, and, you know, we're going to give out some more information and detail as to how to heal, so I'm sure that will benefit you.
Okay. Thank you.
Peace, sis. We do have a couple other callers with their hands raised on the line. Caller from the 323 area code, you are live on Conversations with the Queen.
Well, hello there and good afternoon, everyone. This is the Oracle from Hollywood, California.
Peace, Oracle.
Peace, Oracle.
Hey, Peace, Oracle. Queen. How are you doing, all? I've been sharing in the chat room with you, and... needless to say, I've been called a survivalist. I've been called a victim. I simply say that I've lived life, and life has lived with me. things started for me at an early age. I was born the product of a
an adulterous affair between my mother and a gentleman named Johnny Greenberg. That means I'm half white, baby. I'm Jewish. Eat your heart out, Sammy Davis Jr., right? Anyway, my daddy, who was African-American, refused my mother to bring me home. I spent the first 3 months of my life at the hospital because daddy said he wouldn't have nobody's white baby in his house. It was 58 during the turbulent, you know, times of the 60s coming in, black power and all of that good stuff. My daddy had a lot of pride. Mother gave me away, and for 5 years I lived across the street with my big mama and godmother. And the day she took me back home, it had already started, but the day she took me back home, I was 5 years old. They had a fight, and my brother started making nightly visits. Another brother was beating me up. My sister was beating me up. My mother's boyfriends, because she didn't stop, I guarantee. So her boyfriends had their ways and all that. And yet and still, I found that I liked being touched. And so therein lies the problem, I think, with a lot of kids and a lot of young boys and girls who don't report, because they find that they like it, it feels good, and then when they grow a little bit older and they start hearing people talk about how bad it is, then now you feel bad about it and say, oh, I shouldn't say anything. But guess what? I said something. From the time it started happening to the time it stopped, I said something. And when it finally came to a head, because my brother decided about 5 years in, I was 10 by that time and my sister was 8, he decided to try to mess with my sister. Well, she told, and because she was one of the favorites, my mother believed her, beat my brother like she was a man. And when we were in the kitchen when it was happening, I was standing, the whole family, because they were trying to get my mother off my brother. And I said, well, Mama, he's been doing that to me since I was 5. And now, mind you, I'm 10 years old. My mother turns and looks at me and says, shut the, I won't use a curse word.
Go ahead, no, go ahead. Be real with the story. Be real.
Shut the fuck up, bitch. Get out of my motherfucking kitchen. You probably liked it. Now get the fuck upstairs. Now, that's what was told to me, a 10-year-old child.
Yeah.
Needless to say, I do not chastise myself for then turning and sucking anything I could, messing with anything I could, and being enveloped in the arms of anybody that I could, because I wasn't getting the love that I needed at home, and I sought it out. And because the molestation had begun at home and in the community, little neighborhood boys and all that stuff, because I only allowed it because it was allowed in my home.
Yes.
As a child, I say, well, screw it. You know, forget them. I'm going to find love over here. I'm going to do this over here. And it wasn't until I was way much, much older, in college even, that, you know, I came to grips with things and dealt with it. In fact, when I was up until I healed, if you will, I couldn't even speak to you about it as like the young lady who broke down in tears a few moments ago. When I used to talk about it, my throat would constrict so because of the pain. I would actually be talking like this, and I couldn't get the words out. And I'd have to stop talking. But see, I didn't have any money, couldn't afford a psychologist or a psychiatrist, and so I continued to talk, continued to share. And people used to say, you tell all your business. Why don't you just keep that? No. I'm telling my business so that I can purge this cancer from inside of my soul.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the advice you've been given, to write in your journal and to get it out, to share it. Go ahead. Don't care about what people think. Don't care who becomes insulted by your words. It's your healing that you need to be concerned with, you know, so that you can, like me at 54, I can absolutely say, I'm done with that. It don't make, you know, I got through it. I dealt with it. I healed, and I've been able to help others. I did
thank
have a piece.
Thank you for sharing your story, sister.
Thank you
so much.
I have a very short piece. I know you have a lot of people on the line, but I have a very, very short piece that comes home. It says, from Mama's frying pan into his fire. I don't get him put down very well. I stopped that after I went from Mama's frying pan into his fire. I had convinced myself that I shared in the blame, that I somehow brought it on myself. I knew what it was like to live with me. Each swollen, pregnant lip, each cheek on fire from the constant impact, each bruise on the body he or she so intended on taking after they were done, each ached for an end to come, from Mama's frying pan into his fire. Ears filled with insults hurled in unison with their fists. Accusations, innuendos, attempts at tripping me up fill my heart with fear, and yet I yield. I forgot how to fight back because I never really learned, because I went from Mama's frying pan into his fire. The blood dries in places I don't even know. The scars, some of them fade away. My spirit is bruised but not daunted. Listening to that voice inside, I remembered something.
I left Mama's frying pan before I fell into his fire. Alone now, but not lonely, I'm at peace without fear, breathing no longer a conscious effort, happy to be with myself. The old me made new again. I finally did it. I went from Mama's frying pan into his fire, into my own self-love.
Beautiful.
Thank you
for that.
Wow.
Give everybody your information, because she is a spoken word artist, and she's a beautiful one. So give everybody your information. Let them know about you.
Thank you, sister. They can find me on Facebook under my name, Denise Lyles Cook, LYLESCOOK. My website is www.theoraclespeaks.info. I do have a blog talk radio show. It's called The Oracle Speaks on Sundays at 1 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And just recently, last week was my first week as the new host at Piccolo's Books Open Mic Poetry on Saturday nights. Doors open at 8:30. Show starts at 9.
Thank you, sister. Thank
God bless you. Thank you for this show. It's needed. It is absolutely, positively needed.
Thank you. All right. Do come back and, you know, listen to our other shows, and, you know, we'll definitely keep the healing going.
Yes, ma'am. Right. Thank you.
All right. We do have a couple more callers on the line. I'd like to remind everybody that we do have 19 minutes left in the live stream. And to all my panel hosts, if you don't mind staying a little bit later, we'll be able to elaborate a little bit more on everything, but I just want to get all the callers out the way and everybody who has a question or a comment while we do have the time and time to do so. So caller from the 301 area code 204, you are live on Conversations with the Queen. Do you have a question or comment?
Not really. Great, great, great show. Great information. You can pass the mic.
All right. Thank you, brother. Thank you for your love and all of that. All right. Call it from the 205 area code. You are live on Conversations with the Queen. Do you have a question or comment?
Hey, Queen. How's it going? Yeah, I got kind of a concern. I wanted to ask. I see we got some professionals in here from a crisis counseling center, and I was just wondering if seriousness of I said men being abused, sexually abused, and the seriousness of versus the seriousness of women, because we all know that women get abused, not really hidden from society, but I feel like boys who get abused not only by the same sex but by the opposite sex is often overlooked, and then we'll later on in life we'll complain about so many confused young men. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, and I just feel like it that's something that's real important, because I had a conversation with my mother the other day, and it was important because she's from Jamaica, and I'm like a first generation American. So a lot of things that go on down here, down south where I'm from, I don't really understand, like some of the racial tensions and stuff. Growing up, I didn't really understand it. And, you know, I we had this conversation about welfare and how the man used to be the breadwinner, and he could be with a woman and have children with her and kick her out on the streets. You know, this was back before welfare. And then we spoke about the importance and the effects, the psychological, the physical effects of welfare on our women. And also, you know, how it took away from the real man. I ain't gonna say the real man, but the man in the 50s, 60s, that breadwinner, you know, that could create, that could structure a family. You know, we don't got a lot of men like that no more. You know, and I'm wondering, is it because of the sexual abuse? Is it, you know, is it the factors combined?
There's many reasons, but focusing on your question about why it's not largely accepted, one of the major points of why it's not largely accepted is because it's not acceptable for men to be weak or vulnerable. And in order to have gone through that process, you have to admit that you were weak or vulnerable at some point in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And so this society doesn't uphold the man being weak or vulnerable, also doesn't uphold him getting in touch with his feminine side, like I was speaking about earlier, which would allow him to understand how to emotionally heal, which would allow him to understand how to get inside in touch with his nurturing part of himself that would also even nurture his own wounds and nurse his own wounds. So what we have is a psychology of society that does not condone the masculine or the man getting any understanding for being a vulnerable being, for being sometimes having to be weak or having to go through things. And that doesn't just pertain to sexual abuse. That pertains to everything. That pertains to there's not an allowance for men to be weak, for men to cry, for young boys to cry.
Right.
A young boy crying, they go, man up, you ain't about to cry. I mean, you want to get your son in a certain place where he's not a crybaby by a certain age because the world will eat him alive, but you don't want to discourage your children from expressing their emotions, because what that does is that psychologically blocks them off, and they're saying it's not okay to be an emotional being. And us, especially as a black people, we're a very emotional being, and that's where our power comes from. So by cutting that part of ourselves off, we now see the imbalance, and now that's why we see the influx of sexual confusion. We also see the influx of men with the inability to sustain households or have healthy relationships because they don't know how to be emotionally in touch with themselves, and a lot of men with emotional blockages. So that's part of the reason. Would anybody else on the panel like to elaborate?
Well, I like to say that every 4 out of 6 of men are sexually assaulted or sexually abused or sexually violated in some way. And, you know, those stats come from RAIN and also from Rape Crisis Outreach. We get stats in training often in order to be a volunteer. So every 5 to 6 girls and women get abused. Every 2.5 minutes, someone is being sexually assaulted here in the United States alone. So men are definitely in that number. And it goes back to what you said, Tay Queen. I mean, you did it very, you know, you were right on point that, you know, men aren't told to show their emotion. And that meant they had to be in a weak or vulnerable position. You're absolutely right. And that is not something that a man is going to acknowledge, that he was in a weak or vulnerable position. However, the floodgates have opened, and there are young boys and men stepping up and saying, you know, I've been violated, and it's okay for me to cry. It's okay for me to talk about this today, because guess what? Damn it, I got to heal. I got sons I'm trying to raise. I got daughters I'm trying to raise. I got a wife I'm trying to love. So, you know, once they start looking in the mirror and becoming accountable to their healing, and what they need to do for their families, and what they, you know, predominantly need to do for themselves. Yeah, it's starting to become a bigger voice, and it is dealt with in the same way when it comes to the acknowledgement in the counseling world, in the therapy world. Yes, it is dealt with in the same mannerism, other than it being from a male point of view.
Okay. Well, I think that's your answer, brother. If you have any other comments or questions pertaining to the subject of sexual abuse, you can ask them now. If not, we like to move on.
No, I appreciate that, and I appreciate the show.
All right. Thank you. I appreciate you for listening in. Peace. And you can listen to Conversations with the Queen every Monday night. We normally do the show from 9 p.m. to 10 p.m., but this, you know, we're having a special, so I wanted to, you know, give everybody the chance to speak up and speak out. I do believe we're finished with the callers, so if anybody else would like to call in and have a question or comment, you can call in numbers 917-932-8881, and you can call in by raising your hand and pressing 1. We're going to further continue the discussion on how to heal from sexual abuse. How does it affect our relationships? Now, this is a very great point that I really feel like it needs to be discussed, because we often have the discussion in the black community, oh, why can't the black men get along with the black women, and why can't black women get along with black men, and why we all got attitudes towards each other, and why is there so much animosity? I feel like a lot of that has to do with not only we're not taught how to be with each other or how to love each other, but also sexual abuse could have something impeccably to do with this whole ordeal of why we seem to have this great divide, especially in the black community, between sexes. Anybody like to open up the floor and speak about that?
I guess I'll chip in since I haven't said anything in a little while.
Yeah.
You know, I think the male point of view, by the way.
I love the male point of view, by the way. Go ahead, brother.
Thank you, sis. I think it starts with a breakdown of the communication, you know, and sexual abuse is just a tough topic to talk about, and it's a tough topic to accept, not only for the person who has been abused, but sometimes for the person who they're in a relationship with, or sometimes there's just an assumption that's there, that it's a tough topic for the other partner to accept. And so it's something that's underlying that can be subconsciously triggered, you know, through different actions that either person may be unaware of, you know. And for example, let's say if insecurity, you know, due to the fact that a woman was sexually abused, or due to the fact that the man was sexually abused, and they're insecure because they don't feel worthy, as Sister Ava Laura was talking about earlier, then that begins to manifest in that relationship. They may not speak about the fact that they were sexually abused and begun the healing process of accepting that, and accepting that they don't feel valid or feel worthy in that particular relationship, and working on boosting their self-esteem or their sense of self-worth. And so it may manifest in that relationship through, you know, trying to keep tabs on whoever they're in a relationship with. They get overly jealous when their partner is talking to other people of a different gender, you know, or even as far as wanting to be very controlling, wanting to be very dominating, you know. So that's one way that it can definitely affect the relationship in a negative light.
Would like to have a female perspective on this topic? Anybody at all?
I'm actually trying to get. I feel like I've talked a lot, so.
I was trying to let the other sister get it in. You know, I'm like. I'm trying to share over here too. You know.
All right. Well, whoever wants to speak, just like, you know.
I'll just, you know, I guess, you know, reiterate, you know, definitely agree with what Dr. Yu said. And the thing is, and this is what I see, you know, counseling, is that there's so many people, and not just from sexual abuse, but there are just so many people who have not healed whatever their traumas are.
Yes.
Mm. And you have two people come together who are not healed. It is just a recipe for disaster.
Yeah.
You know, and so there's so many different issues that can come up. And because you're not healed, you don't know how to process them and deal with them in a healthy way. So you just have all of this turmoil and drama just going back and forth that could easily, you know, be healed with just a simple conversation. But if you don't know how to communicate properly, how is that going to happen?
Mm-hmm.
You know, if your mode of conversation is just, you know, somebody says something or your significant other says something that you don't like or does something that you don't like and you just shut down, how are you going to communicate? Or your way is acting out and just blowing up so that, you know, your significant other doesn't even want to come to you and say anything because they're afraid of what your reaction might be. You know, how are you going to have a conversation? How are you going to address whatever issues that you're having when you cannot properly communicate and deal with whatever is going on?
Yeah.
Well,
that's a lot of what I see is it is back to that communication piece, but not being able to communicate because you don't know how to process your own emotions and deal with whatever is happening and look at it from a positive perspective. A lot of people take things so negatively, and it wasn't even meant in a negative way. And so they then in turn take that negative and deal with it in negative, and really was just, oh, I didn't even mean it like that. Let me explain. But that doesn't even happen because it's already, nope, this is what you said, you know, and I just can't deal with it and just forget it.
Mm-hmm.
I want to piggyback off of that point, and I want to pose the question to the panel. how would you know that you have a problem with that? Because one of the things that I see is that a lot of people who are in those positions don't realize that they actually have a problem for a long time.
Very true.
So what are some of the signs that can be looked for to recognize that we actually have a problem with the way that we interpret things, with the way that we express ourselves, and how can we go about getting help for that?
Before we discuss that, I just want to let everybody know that we have 5 minutes left in the live stream, which means if anybody else has any call-in questions, y'all about to run out of time to call in. The call-in number again is 917-932. All those who are listening on the live stream, you will be cut off at the five-minute mark. So call back in through the number 917-932-8881. If not, I bid you all good night, and I'm thankful for all of you listening in. I don't know if this is a good time to do it right now because we do have a large volume, and I did want you all to be able to promote yourselves. But like I said, we have a promotion for all of everybody who's on the panel tonight at conversationswiththequeen.blogspot.com if you're interested in learning more about them. So do we want to continue to attack the question that Dr. Yu said, or do we want a promo right now?
Well, we are here for healing. I mean, yeah.
I can do both because my promos are healing.
Yeah,
so.
I know how to do it, too. I know how to do it, too.
Promo. Let's promo real quick. Let's promo real quick.
We can kill two birds with one stone.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah.
All right. Let's start with Avalora. You can start off with the promo.
I'll just be really quick because I actually have an event coming up this weekend. Overcome Anything, Manifest Everything. And it's an empowerment retreat, two-day retreat, May 5th and 6th at Avalora's Healing Center in College Park, Maryland, the D.C. area. And I think this is right on point with what we're talking about now. It will be talking about healing on a mental, physical, spiritual level. So dealing with the chakras, talking about crystal healing, tuning forks, aromatherapy, homeopathy. So we're really going to be addressing healing on different levels. So I definitely wanted to plug that. And all the information about that is on my website at www.avalora.com. And also the services that I offer, because back to what Dr. Yu just said in terms of how do you know that you do need to heal, it doesn't happen without awareness and with consciousness. It just doesn't. Uh-huh. If you're not conscious, if you're not aware, you don't even understand how your actions are influencing other people or that you're interpreting things in a negative way in a way that it wasn't necessarily intended to be. And so I help a lot of people with that work through counseling, through spiritual work, through Reiki, through energy work, and I also do a lot of trainings, a lot of teachings as well. So please definitely check me out at avalora.com. But, you know, counseling is the best mode for really understanding, you know, how to communicate and being more aware of who you are, what you're projecting, what you're putting out, and then being able to change that.
All right. Thank you. Tracy.
Hey, I am the owner of Honey Love Lingerie and More, a romance boutique. We actually service primarily women who are within the areas of sensuality and sexuality. I am a sexual empowerment coach. So you can find us at www.honeyloveromance.com. Honeyloveromance.com. I'll put that up also in the chat room. By the way, like the sister said, if you don't have, it's usually something happens, cause there's a catalyst that actually triggers. It triggers your consciousness where you have to look in the mirror and say, you know what, my relationships are shit. You know, this just is not working for me. I'm picking all the wrong dudes or I'm picking all the wrong men. My standards are low. You know, I'm not being accountable for my actions. I'm not making them accountable. It's usually something that just kind of goes off for you where you have to really stand there and you have to question your value system. And until that light bulb goes off or that catalyst happens, that experience happens where it triggers that thought process for you, you really aren't going to know.
All right. Now, Dr. Yuma, quickly, because we only got a minute left. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, the name of me and Dr. Shade's company is U360. My website, which is currently down, but you can take it anyway, is www.yew360.com. You can also reach us by email, yew360@yahoo.com. And to answer that question real quick as I can, I think that it's on a partner also who is in a relationship to be able to communicate whatever the issues are at a time where the emotions are not high. And I think that can help bring awareness to that particular area of concern, because then the person is at a state where they're not so defensive and they can really look at and examine their behavioral patterns in a more logical way, you know. Sure. And so they start to do it again, you know, then something will trigger in their mind and say, wow, you know, maybe not at that particular point, but afterwards in reflection and say, I just did that again. Maybe there is something that I need to work on or something that I do need to get help for. So I think that's an important aspect also.
Dr. Shadi, I'm going to let you go on and, you know, promo yourself too, girl.
I'm co-owner with my husband, Yuma, with U360. And also I am a spiritual advisor. So I do a lot of spiritual work with my clients. I have been doing that gemstone work, divinations, and tapping into the oracle and the spiritual essence to deal with physical manifestations of the issues that we deal with here on the earthly plane. So I deal with that, the metaphysical aspect of U360, but also, you know, herbs and herb blends and things like that. But I specialize with the spiritual essence. And my, you know, the information is the same, and my phone number is 216-466-2939 for my Ohio people. Hello. And that's all. Thank you for having me, Tay. Appreciate it.
No problem. Yeah. No problem at all. And, Yuma, don't forget to shout out your upcoming event in NY. Can't forget about it.
Yes. I have an herb walk coming up this Saturday, which we actually take a hike and learn how to identify the different plants in the wild, learn about their medicinal uses, which ones can be used for food or which ones are edible. So that will be happening this Saturday. For more information, you can contact me through the contact information I put up in the chat room if you're in the chat room. Or if you're still listening, my telephone number is area code 202-469-0264. That will be taking place in College Park this Saturday. Registration is over on Thursday. So from now until Thursday, you can contact me if you're interested in that event.
All right.
College Park
is
jumping this weekend.
Yeah, peace to sustain the Lord.
A lot of healing
Lord,
going on
man.
In College Park this
event.
Weekend.
Since I'm in the vicinity, I may have to see if I can link you up.
Yes.
Yes, indeed. But much success, much love for the event that you're putting on as well, and all of the work that you do.
Thank you. Right. You too.
Yeah.
All right. So I think this wraps the show. Is there any last points anybody would like to make? Because we do have a couple callers still in on the switchboard. So, you know, we'd like to make any last-minute remarks or comments as dealing with sexual abuse and how to heal from it.
I would just like to say that healing is possible. It is possible. And that your circumstance does not define you, or your experience does not define you. You are still a beautiful being of light.
Yeah.
I just want to say that.
Anybody else?
I guess.
All right, I think we got it all out. So I'd just like to thank everybody who came on and shared. You all were wonderful. I love each and every one of you. You all are beautiful souls, and, you know, you all continue to heal the planet in your own ways, and that's what this show is about: healing, moving forward, embracing life, loving ourselves, learning about ourselves, and all those different things. So I'd like to thank everybody who came on, and, you know, and just thank you dearly for being a part of this show.
Thank you, Queen Tay.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
You're a great
yes.
host.
All right. Thank you. All right. You have been listening into Conversations with the Queen. We come on every Monday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And do not be a stranger to the Poetic Energy Network station, which is a great station that has a plethora of wonderful, beautiful shows almost every night here. Tomorrow we do have... We do have a show called Here's to Your Health featuring Dr. D. She is a wonderful holistic and naturopathic doctor who does give out great advice. I thank you all again for calling in, for showing up, for showing out, and I love you all so very much, and thank you. And don't forget to come back next Monday. actually, one last thing before we do leave out. On Monday, the 14th, in May, the 14th of May, we will be having a Mother's Day special. I will be having my mother on as a special guest, and we'll be talking about mother and child relationships, the greatness of mothers. So I hope you all enjoyed this show, and we'll tune in and enjoy that show as well. All right, I'm going to play it out with some Angie Stone, No More Rain. Peace and blessings, y'all.
Welcome to the Poetic Energy Network Station. It is with great compassion that our network owner, Michelle E. Alford, provides to you an array of qualified hosts that share in the commitment to educate, entertain, motivate, inspire, heal, enlighten the spirit, and positively affect the human experience. It is with great pleasure to bring to you this segment of Conversations with the Queen, with none other than the Queen herself, Tay Queen, where her conversations enlighten the nation. Here's the Queen.